Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, May the 22nd, 2026. 5:22:26, 13 minutes past the hour. Still flying solo here this morning on WGH Talk Radio. We have not seen Matt Morgan yet, although he was at the Bravo competition with me last night down at Bucci's. The big finale of that big event happened last night, and Helena Gray was the big winner. Patience Delaney was the runner-up. Now, I think they won a $1,000 scholarship. Helena won $1,000, and I think $700 went to Patience. But, you know, there's some stuff to talk about here, but have not gotten to that point yet, because I want to talk about it with Matt if he ever shows up, because he was there last night, and I'm sure he'll have some input on this. But if anybody has anything to say, 740-383-9944, if you were at that competition last night and would like to bring anything up. And also, the conversation we were having last hour, which I thought was very good, about why do people not go to the cemeteries anymore and decorate the tombstones of their family members. Now, this used to be a very big thing many years ago. Well, I don't know if it's many, 10, 20, 30 years ago. You know, it's certainly in a lifetime. But something has happened in which we just don't do that anymore. Now, I don't know what that is. Maybe we're just too busy, as the last caller said last hour. I don't know if that's right or not. It could be. Could be. It's strange. 740-383-9944. Now, as I was saying earlier, Stephen Colbert signed off last night, his late-night talk show on CBS, after, what was it? 11 years he was on CBS, and it was kind of a big drama because CBS says they were canceling his show because it cost too much money, and other people feel he was canceled because of his political views, and CBS was going through a merger. Regardless, he was canceled, and he was canceled as he was the number one show in late night. Well, he did have a big send-off last night. As I was saying last hour, Paul McCartney ended up being the goodbye guest because Paul McCartney, of course, a member of the legendary group The Beatles, Stephen Colbert taped in the Ed Sullivan Theater. And the Beatles made their debut on American television in the Ed Sullivan Theater back in the 1960s on The Ed Sullivan Show. So this was a big deal last night, and I'm just going to play the clip of how the Stephen Colbert show ended, if you did not hear it or see it, because it was quite significant last night, and then we can come back and talk about that. So again, phone lines will be open, 740-383-9944, but this is how Stephen Colbert ended last night on CBS, his 11-year run, and also the end of 33 years of late-night programming on CBS that began with David Letterman back in 1993.
Hello? Goodbye. Goodbye. Everybody's talking like they can't sit down and looking like they can't stand up.
It must be the latest style, and I've seen a lot of things that you never see. Back on the mile up to the hanging tree.
And some people can't keep their fingers clean, just clicking their heels to the beat of the scene.
Trying to keep a careen until the first edition of last night's obituaries.
Jump up, hold on tight, can't trust, a promise, or a guarantee. 'Cause the man round the curve says that he's never heard of you or me. No tombstone would ever surprise me when I'm locked in a room about half the size of a matchbox. Got holes in my socks, they match the ones that I got in my feet. I put my feet in the holes in the street and somebody paid me over. I was a statue standing on a corner. Tell me, how else can a boy get to see those pretty pleats? Changed his bets like it was just another brand of cigarettes. Some people judge and they just guess the rest. They can't understand it, don't mean that you're blessed.
They ought to catch the express.
Next step in the way.
That way you can't forget.
Jump up, hold on tight. Can't trust a promise or a guarantee. 'Cause the man round the curve says that he's never heard of you or me.
Good night.
Oh no!
Come on, Benny. Let's go.
And that's how Stephen Colbert signed off last night, 33 years of late night on CBS and his program. And, you know, I had not seen that or listened to that until just now. And, you know, there was a lot of significance in that. First of all, as I talked about before we went to that, number one, it's Paul McCartney coming back to the Ed Sullivan Theater. 1960s, the Beatles debuted on that stage on the Ed Sullivan Show. So he's back there. He's doing a Beatles song. The song he does is Hello, Goodbye, and Stephen Colbert is doing that song with him, with the other musicians you heard there in the beginning. And what a great ending song, Hello, Goodbye, from probably the greatest band ever, the greatest group of musical performers ever, the Beatles. Because when you think about it, you say goodbye, I say hello. Well, what a good way to end. Stephen Colbert, you know, I was not a fan. I really wasn't. I can't tell you that I watched a whole lot of Stephen Colbert, but that was a classy way to go out. He didn't take any jabs. He didn't get angry. Went out with one of the great endings in talk show history. You gotta have a good ending. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It's always hard to have a good ending. Give us a call. 740-383-9944. But that's how the Colbert Show ended. You know, I think when I end this show, which we've been on here now longer than Stephen Colbert, because we will be celebrating 12 years next month, June. Maybe I'll sing. Do you think Paul McCartney would come sing me off the air? Boy, wouldn't that be good. I don't know who could sing me off the air. We'll just get somebody to come in here off the street, and they can sing me off the air on the last day. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, I was having a thought the other day about media, because there's a lot of talk about media now. We just love to talk about media and social media and all this nonsense. But you know what's interesting? What I was thinking about? I was thinking about the days of before internet, essentially. And I worked a few of those days in the radio business. And what's interesting is in those days, the way you got entertainment was through the radio or on television. You really had two options. That was it. And the thing about that was, if you were in a local town like Marion, you know, Rush Limbaugh was on your station. You might be a local personality, but you also had Rush Limbaugh because he aired there. Larry King would air there. Sean Hannity would air there. George Norrie. You know, all these national shows, Paul Harvey, they would all air on that station. So you were kind of seen in the same light as they were. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, too bad they're discontinuing the Tonight Show, or the Late Show.
The Late Show.
Late Show. You could apply for that job.
Well, you know, I'll tell you.
The show around.
Well, you know, I you never know. You never know.
You're not really a comedian, though.
No, I'm not a comedian, but I don't think we do news all the time. So I think there are aspects of this show that are a little like having Sam Donaldson on yesterday, but he took the Colbert questionnaire.
Oh, I fell asleep yesterday.
Yeah, and also like years ago when we did the Geraldo Journal. And things like, and we have musical guests on the show, so I don't think that we're newsy all the time.
No. Whatever happened to James Corden?
You know, I don't, he's not on anymore. Hey,
I don't know if he has a show, but...
No, I'm not sure. I think he went back to England. Or maybe he ended up on Broadway. Something like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people get famous in England that you don't really know very well over here, but they're super famous over there.
You know what's interesting about James Corden? He's the one who came up with the carpool karaoke. That was his big thing.
Yeah.
And it's funny, when Gallagher was in town, the late comedian Gallagher, watermelon smashing comedian Gallagher, when he came and did my show for 2 weeks, he had never seen the James Corden show. But back then it was still fairly new. And he came in one morning and he said, "I watched James Corden and I think that carpool karaoke is one of the greatest things." And I said, "Well, I said, I know it's very popular right now." I said, I wonder if we could do something like that. "Well, I can't sing and he can't sing. So what are we going to do?" Well, I ended up with the idea. I said, "Gallagher, I said, you know, you're going to be on the station here. So let's do a promo for your show. But since you don't sing, what's your famous spiel?" And remember when he would do Sledge-O-Matic, he would give that big, long spiel.
You know, I don't remember that.
But he used to give a big, long spiel. It's, you know, it's a dicer, it's a slicer, it's better. He gave a whole big, long, famous spiel. And I said, "What if you do that big, long, famous spiel, and instead of at the end going Sledge-O-Matic, you promo the show?" And he really liked that idea. So we went out into the parking lot of the station. This was all done in an afternoon. We went out into the parking lot of the station that we were at that time. We took a camcorder, because that's all they had in those days. We took a camcorder, and we taped it to the dashboard of the car. And he and I got in the car, and we drove in a circle in the parking lot, so it looked like the car was moving. I was in the driver's seat, he was in the passenger seat, and I said something like, "Gallagher, tell me what it's all about." And he goes into this big long spiel. At the end, he promotes the show that he was going to be on, and there's some funny, I don't even remember what the line is, but that video's up on YouTube somewhere.
Maybe you should give a little bit of revenue from that, because you came up with the idea before Corden.
Well, I don't know. I thought it was interesting. It's a fun thing to do. And sometimes, you know, we didn't sing, so that's all James Corden. But I thought, what an interesting idea that is to do that. People like that. People like to see you in a moving car. It's kind of interesting in an odd way.
Between the break there, I went on YouTube. And, what's the woman name running for governor?
Oh, Amy Acton?
Oh, yeah, Amy Acton. She was on Midas Touch there. Midas Touch Network. You can get it through many ways, I guess, but I see it on YouTube. And she was giving an interview on there.
Do you have anything interesting to say?
Nothing I haven't heard before.
Well, isn't that the problem with her?
Needs new material.
Yeah, she keeps being repetitive. You know, when
she was a little bit more defensive from Vizami, Vivek, whoever, Ramaswamy.
Yeah.
About how he was on that Doge committee and took pride in, you know, hurting Americans and talking about, you know, her, the way she was brought up and the way he was brought up and different things. But I do think for him to be a billionaire, I think the American people has really seen what happens when you put a billionaire govern the country.
You know, though, I think Vivek Ramaswamy is getting a lot of really unfair treatment right now. Because, the two things people keep saying is he's arrogant. Well, I've never seen that. I'm still waiting for the video where he's arrogant. I haven't seen that. And number two, they keep knocking him because he's rich. Well, you know what? If Warren Buffett ran for office, or Bill Gates ran for office before the whole Epstein thing, I don't think people would have thought they were nutty people. I don't think being a billionaire should disqualify you for running for office. I don't understand what that is. I think billionaires are like regular people. I don't think every regular person should run for office. Some are just more equipped.
Every billionaire is you got the two you just talked about, and there's another one. He owns a basketball team, and he was on that show where they pitch products. I forget the name of that show.
Oh, Shark Tank?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was on there, too. But he seems to be, you know, a billionaire with some sense. But most billionaires aren't. They do not have the family connection, you know, with their families. They're too busy worried about making money. You know, I had a guy one time, he was a rich guy in Prospect, and he was drunk one time, and I didn't want him driving. I drove him down to his little building there in Prospect where he had six Cadillacs in there, 1976 Cadillac Eldorados. He collected them. But he was going on, he was drunk about, you know, his kids, you know, he was always wasn't in their lives enough and regretted it and stuff like that, you know. But that is what happens when you want to make the buck. You obsess over it.
Well, yes, but I think that's on a person-by-person basis, much like everything. I mean, couldn't we say, now how many doctors should be governor? I mean, I think there are good doctors and there are bad doctors.
Well, yeah, there's good, you know, billionaires and bad billionaires.
Right, so I think the fact that they keep knocking him for having all this money, I don't think that's a winning strategy, because if he's saying sensible things and he's got a good temperament, I don't think that that's a horrible thing. And by the way, what gives her the qualifications to be governor? I don't know what her qualifications are. She's a doctor. I mean, so I don't think attacking him that... I really think that's unfair to say that a billionaire should not be president. I mean, I remember years ago, everybody wanted to vote for Ross Perot. Now, I don't think Ross Perot was like Donald Trump. I think Ross Perot knew a lot about the government, cared a lot about the government, and...
But I think he would have... not been good for programs to help some people.
What could
but
be?
They helped him. That's all he got is money, government contracts, military contracts.
Well, it could
but
be. But I think everybody's...
He would have won back then if he didn't do that stunt he did, coming out of it, then getting back in.
Right.
But what I think hurts Ramaswamy right now, we're in a position where... We got a billionaire, and we thought, oh, okay, yeah, he's going to run the country. He's a businessman. He's going to straighten up everything. Well, we've seen how he straightened up everything.
Well, yes, but
and
also...
Ramaswamy is a billionaire, and he has some questionable ways he's made money,
right,
too.
But we've also...
And we're living in the thing right now. I think if it was 5 years from now...
Right. But
Ramaswamy might have a good chance.
But here's...
But we're living in an economy where the billionaires put this through to you.
Right, but here's the problem. This is where I think it's unfair. Michael Bloomberg was a very popular and successful mayor of New York. He was a billionaire. And Pritzker right now is a very popular and successful, possibly Democratic candidate for president, billionaire governor of Illinois. And people don't discount them just because they're billionaires. So you've got two good governors who were billionaires, who still are billionaires as far as I know. Now, that's what Ramaswamy is. So,
well, I agree with you there. But they was in a totally different time.
Well, Pritzker's in office now.
A billionaire that was president that was putting the hurts to everybody, and I want to run for the mayor of the governor of New York. I'm a billionaire, and you want to announce that when you got a billionaire
with
the screws to you?
But that's
the only thing I say.
But
maybe right now the arts are on the
block. Well, but that's why I think it's unfair, though, because Pritzker's in office right now. Now, Bloomberg's not anymore, but Pritzker is. He's still in office. And the Democrats seem to feel that he would be a good presidential candidate.
Yes, he would.
Oh, now, wait a second. Now, we should disqualify him because he's a billionaire. And look what we got.
Well, I didn't say we got to disqualify Ramaswamy, did I?
Well, no, but I think what I think the unfair treatment is, though.
But what do you call unfair treatment?
Well, the unfair treatment...
putting him in government? Is that... And as our governor, is that unfair treatment?
No, people
He's
can...
He's getting the same treatment everybody else is. He's making his pitch.
Right, but here's what the unfair treatment is. The unfair treatment is that Ramaswamy is not running around saying, I'm a billionaire. Ramaswamy is not going on shows saying, I'm a billionaire. They are pushing that on him.
But people know he's a billionaire.
Right, but what you just said a second...
That's why I think it's going to hurt him.
So will it hurt Pritzker?
When Pritzker runs, we won't have a billionaire in office.
Well, yeah, we will.
I think it could hurt Pritzker, too.
Well, no, Trump would still be in office when Pritzker ran.
I don't think so. Trump's going to be out of office real, real soon.
So you think he's going early?
Have you heard the in the Senate and the House, how they are really disappointed with this one point whatever slush fund for QAnon, Mr. the nut you had on here earlier, but...
Well, he refused the money.
Well, he refused the money, but that don't mean he's not a crazed loon. And he talks about... It's no different between Biden or Trump or whatever. Well, when you're dressing up and you're putting all that paint and stuff all over you and acting way out of the norms, that don't mean what you say is wrong, but you're acting way out of the norms. Maybe 100 years from now, your philosophy might be, but right now it ain't.
Well, I guess
you don't think you're going to be looked at and watched and followed. We come from a real terroristic time in the last, several years. Even back in, when Carter was in there. But when you do that, you don't think you're going to be looked at a little different?
Well, here's what I would say about that. Number one, if you listened earlier, he certainly does say some things that are a little off the track. But this idea of the horns, I mean, he doesn't walk around like that in everyday life. And the times that he's had that on, I think, have been pretty rare. And I think, matter of fact, might have just been the day of the storming of the Capitol 5 years ago. But every time we promote him, you got to put that picture out there or people don't know who you're talking about. So...
Well, no, he's not walking around there like everyday life. Does he have a job?
He's supporting himself somehow.
Or how's he making his money? Is he wearing that get-up when he's out there taking care of the cows?
I don't think he even has it anymore.
Does he wear that get-up when he's going to Whirlpool to go to work?
No,
he doesn't wear it in everyday life. That's stupid.
Well, right, but I guess back to the essential point here in the beginning is... I am, trust me, the Republicans or the Democrats would not pick me to be their defender. I just think some of the criticism coming toward Ramaswamy for being a billionaire is unfair. Because he's not out there touting that he's a billionaire. Amy Acton is doing that.
You do a good job, a lot of times, both sides. I understand where you're coming from, but I think right now, being a billionaire is not something I want my next leader to be.
Well, anyway, stay tuned. We got a lot to talk about this morning, so stay tuned. All right. And again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Matt Morgan has joined us in the studio. Matt, how you doing?
I think I'm doing pretty okay. Got a bit of a cold going on.
Are you contagious?
I don't know. Are colds contagious?
Yeah, with some.
Well, then maybe.
I've heard that colds, once they present symptoms, are no longer contagious.
Oh, well, I've got symptoms, so...
Do you have a fever?
I don't think I have a fever, but I got, like, a stuffy nose and yeah, and I cough.
Does anybody know what the rules are on that? I thought if a cold, if the symptoms are present, you're no longer contagious. But if you have a fever, you could be contagious.
Yeah, I don't think I got a fever.
Okay. Well, we don't have a thermometer in here. This isn't a doctor's office. 740-383-9944. Okay. So, we want to talk about the Bravo competition last night. You and I both attended this event. I held off talking about it until now.
And you waited 2 whole hours.
Well, I did. We started with Jacob Chansley this morning and did the QAnon shaman thing. And then we talked about do people still take stuff to the memorials and... Ran down some city council stuff and played the end of Colbert's show last night. That was great. We'll talk about that later on. But Helena Gray wins the $1,000 scholarship. And Patience Delaney gets the $700 scholarship runner-up. Okay. What'd you make of it last night?
Well, I mean, I thought, you know, obviously, I think all the people who performed were good. But, you know, again, I think the judges probably talked too much. And honestly, I don't know. I'm not a music judge, so I couldn't tell you exactly what you're supposed to say. But they like, last night, I don't know, they were talking about, like one of the things they said was something, they talked to somebody about, like, how they performed their consonants and vowels. I mean, like, come on, you know?
They kept saying tone.
Yeah. Tone. And everybody had mentioned tone.
Tone. I just don't like the judge part of it. I think you should have judges. You've got to have judges. But I don't know if we have to give 7-minute commentaries between every song. And there seems to be no flow of that show. The poor girl who's doing the intros announces the show, and then it's minutes before anybody performs, which I think's a problem. All right, go ahead, Colin.
Good morning, boys.
Good morning, Adam. How are you?
How's it going?
Adam, Madam, now known as Adam L. Evader, or whatever else I feel like calling myself. Now that Matt's here, maybe he would be more interested in this question, because you never provide your opinion. I don't know if you've ever talked about this, Scott. Have you heard about the outburst from Chicago Cubs player Pete Crow Armstrong with the heckling fan? Did you hear that?
No, story? I don't think I heard that story.
Did you hear it, Matt?
I have also not heard. No.
Gosh, you guys don't read the news at all. Well, the problem is
I don't read the I don't read that doesn't I don't yeah. think that's on the cover of the USA
yeah.
Today. I read the USA Today this morning.
I don't watch baseball.
Sorry, that's your okay. Well, you've heard of Pete Crow Armstrong, the young Cubs player who's a bit of a sensation.
Yes.
Okay, at least you've heard. They call him PCA. So when you're important, I guess you go by your initials. So I make up my own name since I'm not that important. Anyway. He is known as a very defensive outfielder, as you know, but he did miss a play, which was next to impossible. I mean, Willie Mays probably couldn't have caught it. And a woman heckled him, pretty much said, "You suck." And then he came back and said something, which I can't say on the air. Let's put it that way. It was pretty intense.
And well, what did it start with?
Well, the first word was "suck," the same word. One of the words that she used, but it was more intense than "you suck." Let's put it that way. And the last word of the phrase was also what you call a female dog, but it wasn't meant
okay.
Obviously in that context. So the initials of what he said were, I think, SMFDB. So look it up. It's a huge story. I'm surprised you hadn't heard about it because you're a Cubs fan. So, what you thought about that? I mean. He's known to be an intense player. Paul O'Neill also had that reputation.
Baseball's pretty mundane, apparently. I mean, in the NFL, people have gotten fined for punching fans hecklers,
but,
like,
I mean,
straight-up violence.
Words, and you look at the play, Scott. I mean, look it up if you want. I mean,
I guess I'm confused, because mundane baseball, that doesn't mean anything. This has happened many times over the years in baseball. You think somebody's not yelled back at a fan?
Yeah, it was just pretty intense, and you look at the play, I mean, it was next to impossible, even someone as defensively gifted as he is. I said, I'm not sure Willie Mays or Paul O'Neill could have made the play. And the woman, I think she was at a party. I mean, probably drinking or whatever other drugs she might have been using. And
she's at a party?
I think she had partied. I mean, I think she was anniversary or partying or wedding or something. And I don't have that story in front of me, but I mean, I'll give you the approximate rundown. And she was really close to where she
I think it's because you're in that area, Adam, because I'm looking this story up, and I don't see it in any major periodical.
Well, you're a Cubs fan, so I thought it might be of interest to you.
Right.
I know, it's a huge story, because I mean, that player is a bit of a sensation.
I don't see it anywhere on any major news organization.
Did he get in trouble? Did they find him?
Just look up like a PCA heckling fan or something.
The Chicago Tribune has run it.
It's a huge story.
Well, I don't see it in many places, but okay.
Okay, I wasn't even at my computer. I'm going to go to my computer. I'm going to find the story and I'll send it to you because it's.
No, it's there. I'm just saying it's not on CNN. It's not on the USA Today. It's not in the big periodicals.
Did you find it?
Yeah, I did find it.
Oh, okay, so you found it. Okay, so I guess. Yeah. And did you see where it lists what he said to the fan?
No, I haven't clicked.
It's just kind of funny, also. And I honestly side with PCA because you look at the replay of that play, it was impossible. Despite how much people think that this guy is a wizard in the field, which he is, but even that has limitations. And the heckling was really uncalled for.
But what's the big deal?
I mean, it's sport. You're going to get heckled.
It's humorous. It's just humorous, and this particular player is a bit of a sensation. So to me, it's a fairly big story. It looks at relationships, I think, how we view athletes. Do we think they're superhuman? They're still regular people.
Have you ever gone to a Browns game?
Can't say I have.
The Browns fans heckle their own players.
I'm a Bengals person. It is the time and place to. It does happen. And I think just because she was so close, I mean, they were a few feet apart. And she had seen the play really up close.
Well, this is kind of a nothing story, though, isn't it? I mean, he was fined. Is what I'm reading. Okay.
Yeah.
They find him?
Yeah.
That's kind of dumb.
He has charisma, and I think...
How was he that close to anybody?
And I think if a player does have charisma, just has some kind of popularity, a following like this, becomes a bigger story.
I don't think anybody will care in 5 days about this story.
Well, it's been quite an issue for a while.
Well, like I say,
I find it kind of intriguing, and I guess anytime there's swearing involved, it just gets juicier.
Well, it's just kind of an odd story though, because there have been baseball players who have said horrible things. I mean, my God, Marge Schott was thrown out of the game of baseball because of her comments.
Remember that story a few months ago when the woman. You know, they called her a Karen, that she took a fly ball and I almost snatched it out of the kid's hand. You remember that story? That was maybe about a year ago. I forget what stadium that was. It just sometimes these stories, for some reason, have an appeal. They have this pop culture appeal.
I don't remember that story.
The woman who went in the foul ball, that was another one that seemed to elicit a lot of opinions.
So I guess what is the I guess for lack of a better term, the point of this story? I mean, what is the opinion to be had?
Well, should he have made the play? I think I the play was next to impossible, and he certainly tried. And then he was lying down on the field because he was upset that he couldn't make it because he wants to think that he's Superman, and that's great. He sets these high standards for himself. The woman heckles him. It was totally uncalled for, and he came back with swear words.
But you're allowed to heckle people.
You're a professional sports player. I mean, you've certainly been heckled a couple of times in your life to get to professional levels.
Yeah.
I think
that's another perspective. And then he like the way Paul O'Neill was. Remember when he played, he would he would throw his bat. I mean, he was just a real, and being from Columbus, I mean, that made him be more of interest. And so when a player has this pop culture appeal, you think of him as a hometown hero of sorts, it does intensify the situation. She is entitled to her opinion, and so is PCA.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess they both said their opinion.
I am an advocate of free speech, as you know.
And okay.
I certainly exercise my right to free speech, but I don't know. If you've not heard the story, I'm glad you looked it up. I find it to be fascinating. People are just fascinated by it. Sometimes, maybe. An escape from all the realities, the gas prices and everything else. You see a story like this, it's a little less serious, and it takes your mind off of some of the troubles of the world. And that could be part of it, because there is just so much going on with the world right now.
You know, I don't know. I mean,
that's probably part of it.
Could be. I just don't see it being covered in a lot of big places, but, you know, that's okay. I mean, it's fine.
You don't remember the story of the woman with the foul ball?
No, I don't remember that story.
I don't remember what city that was in.
Do you remember when DK Metcalf punched the fan? The Lions fan?
I think that sounds a bit familiar. Right, and that is physical. That's serious. That's assaulting.
And they just suspended him for two games.
I mean, sticks and stones may break my bones.
And then he got sued for $100 million.
I
don't know how the whole lawsuit went, though.
Well, you know, he was fined, and this is that, and that's, I think, pretty well will be the end of this story.
Yeah. I mean, and sometimes these stories, they bring exposure. They will bring controversy. To me, I respect them for that. I probably would have done the same thing. He tried this next to impossible play. He was upset at himself. He was lying down in the field because he was upset he couldn't make it, because he knew that there were fans nearby who were hoping to see him make this incredible play. But again, just like Willie Mays and Paul O'Neill, other great defensive players, you can't catch everything.
Nope, can't be perfect every time. That's for sure.
Okay, well, that's about all I had for you.
Well, thanks for calling.
Since you were a Cubs fan, but...
No, I enjoyed the story. I think it's interesting.
Okay, well, that's good to hear.
All right.
Anyway, that's about all I had for you, gentlemen, and you have a good day. I'll be listening.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I have to assume you believe not everybody's going to like what you're doing if you're playing sports. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, that one he bringing it about was, remember the dad that went in after a baseball and it ended up being right in front of this lady, but she was too slow to grab it, and he grabbed it.
Oh, yes, so it wasn't the kid.
And he goes back and gives it to his son, and she comes over there claiming that since it was in front of her, she had dibs to it.
Right, so the lady didn't catch the ball in front of the son. It was the father who caught the ball in front of the lady and gave it to his son.
No, it wasn't caught.
It was dropped.
It was rolling around the floor of the stadium a little bit.
Right.
And it ended up right in front of her, and she was in the process of grabbing for it, but he got in there. He was right beside her, and he got in there and grabbed it, and she claimed that since she was seeing it there first and was right there in front of her, and she was bending down towards it, and he come in there underneath her hands, you know, and got it, that it should be hers. And boy, she took a lot of backlash about that, and I think she might have even lost her job.
Well, I think it was because of the kid.
I think that...
Yeah, that was... He gave it to the kid, so that was more of why it happened.
Right, I think that's what made that story a little salacious, was because it was given to his son, and a woman wanted this over giving it to the son.
Yeah, and, you know, what Adam was talking about, I mean, like Matt says, you do get heckled. But when you're dealing with football stands and baseball stands, and sometimes there's so many people, it's so open, and it's a lot louder. But I don't think heckling is good. Now you go to basketball, and if you want to sit back there and heckle, they'll throw you out. But that's a lot more of a smaller scenario. And I think a professional player, if they ever lose their cool, they can be out.
I just don't understand heckling.
No suspension gone.
Well, I think it's
you
just...
You are a professional. You gotta take that. If you... It's like a cop. He's a professional. Everybody makes mistakes. But if he does something, he can be held, you know, accountable for it.
Certainly can. Hey, we'll talk more about this after the break. We gotta take a break, but we're coming back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Yep.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
I made it up.
Really?
My name is Margaret, and I thought that was too mouthy. Margaret Bradley.